Okay, we're back, and we have John DiNardo with us. I'm RJ. This is the Morning Liberty program. Tennessee John, go ahead with question or comment, and then we'll go on.
Okay, well, the only other thing I had was a comment. Basically, John, that personally, I believe that there are governments around the world, and you can agree or disagree, I'd be happy to know which, that are very aware of what's going to happen and what has happened, especially in light with biblical accounts. For one, the nuclear reactor Chernobyl translated into English actually means wormwood. And I think that the results that we're going to see when wormwood does hit, it's going to be very similar, but much worse than what happened in Russia. I just kind of like to get your take on that. And if you have any idea whether or not you think wormwood could actually hit, there's a trench going southeast from New York City, and whether or not you think it could actually hit and cause a tidal wave in New York.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's definitely, I agree with what you're saying. First of all, that all the governments of the world definitely know about this Planet X coming in. There's a laboratory, there was an observatory in St. Petersburg, Russia. Back in 2002, Mark Hazelwood had contacted this observatory, and they told him that yes, they are sighting Planet X, but then they were told not to reveal any more to Mark, so they basically stopped talking to him. Excuse me. Governor Jesse Ventura recently did a True TV special, quite a wonderful, very revealing, probably the most revealing TV special I've ever seen, where he went down deep into the bowels of the Cheyenne Mountains, where they have the underground cities. Dr. Deagle says these are trillion-dollar underground facilities made for the power elite, not for us, but for the power elite to go underground when this thing happens.
Deep underground military bases. There's more than 100 of them now in position across this country. They are put there on purpose. There is much that Scott is not telling people.
Not only that, RJ, John, the governor's mansions around this country, and Arkansas has done it, Colorado has done it, California, Tennessee, and others have put their governor's mansions, actually built bunkers at the governor's mansions. They're calling them entertainment facilities, but they're actually just large enough, folks, to hold and house the state's governmental bodies, the state senators and representatives and their families, along with bedding and food and everything necessary to take the government underground when this stuff happens.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I never knew that. And that brings up another important point that certainly makes sense that they would do it, because all of the power elite know about it. They're keeping it from the public. They don't care. They want us to basically be left on the surface to be incinerated by the solar scorching.
Yeah.
And that gets to the point of why they're building these underground cities. You see, for a long time I said, why would ever want to go underground when earthquakes, the last place to be, the most dangerous place to be would be underground when an earthquake occurs. However, they have no choice. They plan to scramble down underground and then come back out again. You see, the solar scorching is what's going to drive them underground. If you do not survive the solar scorching, you're never going to live to see the earthquakes.
Absolutely. And let me tell you this. If you will look at the architecture of these underground buildings and facilities, there are so many occult, symbolic, and I don't mean like the Denver airport. I mean like oak trees that are growing up out of the recesses of these underground buildings, coming up above ground, crystals, glass.
Tennessee John, good questions. I'm glad you brought them up. We'll be back with John DiNardo right after this at RBN. It's 8 minutes after. This is the Morning Liberty program. Thanks for tuning in. I'm RJ. My guest this morning, John DiNardo. That's DiNardo. John, do you have a website people can take a look at more of your documentation and evidence?
Well, Sheldon Day has a website where he puts up my some of my Planet X radio dramas. I have a Planet X radio program on shortwave and on the internet. So if you go to thelightofdayradioshow.com, thelightofdayradioshow.com, and at the top you'll see a list. One of those lists with the white dots next to it is called Archives, or is Archives MISC, M-I-S-C. One of the two. I think it's Archives MISC. To click on that and scroll down, you'll see John Moore's, many of John Moore's audio broadcasts. It's a complete, very detailed, very lengthy audio list. Scroll down, you'll see a picture of me and a number of my Planet X radio dramas that I put together with the great Christian researcher, Pastor David J. Smith. I took, with his permission, some of his Planet X sermons, and I put music in the background, and God inspired me to do this. God inspired me to find the music. I just happened to have the CDs that had just the right kind of music that would accentuate typify that this message that he was giving about Planet X and how it relates to Bible prophecy. And I consequently put these musically backed dramas on a program called Planet X and Bible Prophecy. My email address, if you wanted to contact me, and I have to start checking this address more frequently so I can stay in touch with those who do contact me, my address is planetxnow@yahoo.com. planetxnow@yahoo.com. But Sheldon Day, thelightofdayradioshow.com. Click on Archives MISC and you can hear these radio dramas with crystal clarity.
Interesting. Planet X radio dramas and Planet X sermons. Oh, my word.
Yeah, David J. Smith is a great researcher. And his information is so profound. You know, God inspired me to put this thing to music and start presenting it to people, because the message that I was getting from God, the thought, you know, we don't hear voices from God, but he gives us thoughts. He guides us. And God gave me this thought over and over so compellingly that I was forced to do it. He kept on telling me in my thoughts, you've got to tell people that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the scripture, Proverbs 9:10. We're no longer at a point of the love of the gospel has been given for 2,000 years. God's love in the gospel has been given. God says now it's time to give them the gospel of fear. Just as Noah gave them the gospel of fear. God told Noah to preach for 120 years the gospel of fear. Repent and turn your heart to God, or else I'm going to destroy this world. That's love. That's tough love. And God did the same thing with Jonah. He didn't go and tell Jonah to go and tell them how much God loves them, those Ninevites. He told them that God's going to destroy you. And why did they believe Jonah? Because God ordained that there would be an earthquake, a tremendous earthquake that occurred. And we can look at the geological records and see that this is what happened with the Ninevites, because those were the most wicked, vile, depraved monsters you can ever imagine, the Ninevites. They never would have turned to God out of love, a message of love. They needed an earthquake to shake them so violently that they trembled and went into sackcloth and ashes, from the king all the way down to the lowest peasant. So that's what,
you know,
I try to do, gospel of fear.
I have a minister that joins me on Friday, so we can take a look at the more spiritual aspects of reality that is occurring in front of our eyes. And it's interesting how often during the week we go to the good book and prophecy and the Bible in our discussions. Interesting. That's a part of where you come from. I think that's very important. And again, you mentioned Proverbs 9:10, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Wow, good stuff.
Yes, well, getting back to this New York Times article, this is only one of many authoritative newspaper articles that absolutely prove that Planet X exists. They're saying in this article, and I'll try to summarize it for the sake of brevity, that what they're saying in this article is that they noticed this unseen object. They didn't see it, but the gravitational pull on the newly discovered planet Uranus in 1781 was so conspicuous, even to the primitive astronomy community at that time, that they absolutely knew without a doubt that there was some gravitational mass pulling on this planet X, pulling on the planet Uranus, and later on it acquired the name by the astronomers of the world who fervently searched for it over the centuries since 1781. It acquired the name Planet X. So it's an official name, it's a scientific name. In 1846, after, you know, years after the discovery of the 1781 discovery of Uranus, in 1846, the planet Neptune was discovered further out. And again, they noticed the same kind of perturbation of Neptune, that runner on a circular racetrack around the sun, was being pulled off the track, yanked off the track by some mischievous bystander, Planet X, the gravitational force lying somewhere way out there beyond the farthest reaches of our known solar system. And just imagine, I mean, I am so amazed at the size, the mass of this object. When you consider the fact that 1781, Uranus, which is, you know, a lot closer to us, to planet Earth, than Neptune, Uranus, therefore, much, much farther away from this distant planet. Yet, in 1781, this thing was so far out there, this Planet X, and yet it still exerted a gravitational pull on the planet Uranus. Now, you know that we know that the universal law of gravity states that the gravitational force of attraction between two masses is most influentially affected by the distance between the two. As you get closer and closer to the distance, the gravitational pull increases exponentially, not linearly. Conversely, when the two bodies get farther and farther apart, the gravitational force of attraction decreases exponentially, tremendously. And yet, this planet had such a mass that its mass counteracted the diminishing force of gravity due to the great, great distance between it in 1781 and Uranus. I mean, it's now just entered our solar system. We have a lot of circumstantial evidence that Planet X entered the solar system around the year 2003 when we saw this discharging of this heliosphere, what I call this electrified bubblegum bubble surrounding our solar system. At that point, Planet X must have entered the threshold of our solar system because there was a great discharging of the solar capacitor at that time, a tremendous amount of current flowing from the positive charge from the heliosphere back through to the sun. And so we have evidence that's in the solar system. Here's more evidence, too. James McCanney had stated if you go to James McCanney, that's jmccanneyscience.com, J-M-C-C-A-N-N. There's two C's, two N's, E-Y, and the word science, jmccanneyscience.com. Go to his audio archives. June 17th, you might want to write this down. June 17th, 2004, I hope it's still up there, where he says there are leaks coming out. I recorded it, in fact. I made sure I made a copy of this. He says there are leaks coming out from all kinds of professional astronomers and military sources stating that, quote, a mini solar system is moving into our solar system. Now, a solar system is defined as a sun or any large celestial body holding in its gravitational grip a number of other celestial bodies encircling it. And that's exactly what Planet X is. In fact, it's a solar system with thousands and thousands of celestial bodies encircling it. Because
you mentioned before that this Planet X was a brown dwarf star, like a mini sun. Mm-hmm. And just like the sun we have here, that there are planets that surround it and rotate around it, that there may, in fact, as you just mentioned, other planets or objects that go around this dwarf star known as Planet X, correct?
Yes. In fact, probably the largest bodies that it gravitationally grips and encircles it, the largest bodies are probably as large as small planets. And then the next largest size down from the small planets, a little bit smaller, would be comets. There are many, many comets surrounding this Planet X. Then the next smaller size down would be asteroids, then meteors, rocks, etc. Yes, small planets are indeed encircling it. In fact, there is an Oort cloud, O-O-R-T. The Oort cloud is way out, far out. I can't tell you how many astronomical units it is out there, beyond even the heliosphere, I believe. But when Planet X comes in from deep space, what they have noticed is a perturbation, a pulling of this comet, this Oort cloud is essentially a huge sphere surrounding the entire solar system, even farther out than the heliosphere. If you can visualize, you're on your, in your backyard, okay, and there's a swarm of gnats, I mean thousands of gnats all around you, and you get like a hair dryer. And in order to get rid of the gnats, you start blowing this hair dryer all around you. You're going to repel the gnats to a certain degree. You're going to create a circle of clearness, right? You're going to clear out a circle around you. So all those gnats are going to be encircling you, and you're going to be inside of this sphere, essentially a sphere which is comprised of gnats. Well, that's what the Oort cloud is. Each gnat is a comet. Comets come in on a highly elliptical orbit, and it looked like a swarm. However, this swarm is now pulled with a discernible pattern, just like you would take iron filings on the top of a table and put a magnet next to them. It would pull the iron filings in a particular direction and form a line. Well, that's what you have. You have a gravitationally pulled pattern of comets, which all scientists tell you where gravitation is due to a tremendous gravitational pull from a large body.
It's 19 after. We'll be back with John DiNardo after this. It is 23 minutes after the hour. This is the Morning Liberty program. Thanks for tuning in. I'm RJ. When I was invited to come here at RBN, I was realizing that really the 2 hours that I occupy is like a morning drive program. But there's all kinds of stuff that morning drive programs do that I don't do. The bells and whistles and garbage, okay, I really don't go there. I remember years ago listening to some of, you know, Jeff Rentz's material and Art Bell as they would explore Planet X and those kinds of things, and dark matter is a big discussion these days. And I thought, how come they have all the fun and you have to wait until after midnight to participate in those conversations? And I realized, as this is really a morning drive program here at RBN, that the audience is different in New York and in California and Hawaii, and we have callers and listeners from China and Germany and Canada. It's like some people get up at 5 a.m. to listen to this. I get up at 5 a.m. to participate in this. I enjoy coming together with you. My expectation as I do this, you've got to know, I want answers, okay? And I know you too. You want answers. And so I continue to ask the questions. I look at life, I think, from observing the forest, and my expectation, John, as my guests come in, is they get to help me take a closer look at the trees, even though I walk through life by examining the forest. Again, efficient people get things done. Effective people get the right things done. I appreciate you joining us. I appreciate your research. I appreciate the evidence that you are putting on the table for us this morning. Let me ask you another question, and I know you have more evidence here to put on the table. And I appreciate the websites that you have given for us for more references to more evidence, again, as we seek for answers. When do you think this thing will arrive at its final destination, and what kind of impact will it have at that moment? Will it be catastrophic? And let me go ahead and have you answer that, and we'll see then how soon we can get to more callers. Go ahead.
Okay, first I want to say that we can be saved. I don't want people to become dejected. People tend to go run and flee in denial when they feel that there's no hope. There is tremendous hope. Though God, our Savior, tells us, even as he spoke through when he was in the Old Testament, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, God, that's Yahweh, whom Isaiah calls the Savior. Not Isaiah, but God spoke in the book of Isaiah and said, I am your Savior, and there is no other God beside me. So God the Savior spoke to Joel subsequently around 800 B.C. and told Joel that he will create fires, Joel chapter 2, and smoke and pillars of fire. It will be a day of dark gloominess, and who can withstand the day of the Lord? But he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there is your hope. You will absolutely, definitely surely be saved by the word of God, by God's promise. If you call out to him starting right now, he will protect you. His spiritual relationship with you will ensure that you will not be struck by meteors, you will not be killed by an earthquake or anything. So there's where the hope is. Do not fear. turn to God. And, of course, there are many physical things we can do to prepare, too, like storing water and food. But the first thing to do is walk with God in your mind daily.
The Creator gives me dreams, and I had this interesting dream since you went there with our conversation. I certainly did not expect that. I had this dream where I hear these three words, four, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And I'm thinking, I know it's the voice of God, oh my word, and you know that everybody can hear it. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. I heard it again, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and all of a sudden the skies became filled with clouds and missiles flying through the air, and people were running and screaming, and oh my word, what a mess it looked like, and everybody was fearful. And the next thing I recall, I'm inside a mountain, and I'm in a mountain looking out of it like you're looking out of a window. You know, how can that happen? And there's a group of people with me inside of the mountain, but yet we're observing these events happening in front of us. Explosions and people running around left and right, but really going nowhere. I mean, where do you go in an event like this? And missiles flying through the air and dark clouds, and it was really ominous, and it's just kind of puzzling to me that I found myself inside a mountain with a group of people. I think some I knew, most of which I did not know, but yet we could observe what was occurring out there just as though we were watching out a window. In my life, it seems that we are spiritual beings having an earthly experience rather than the other way around. And I think that if we have not found the Lord, then does it matter whether we live or die if we have not found the Lord? And I think that's probably one of the events that has got to happen from our prayer closets in our lives, if we need to have our own relationship between ourselves and the Creator. And sometimes it takes events like this to bring people to that very point.
You've hit upon the aspect of tough love that God is giving us. God loves us, and he wants us to come to faith in him because he knows that every life is destined to end. We are like grass, he says, and the grass will dry up and die, wither and die. So that he doesn't want us to die and be dead eternally. He wants us to die and get a new life, like go on to an eternal life that he has planned for us. And do I hear the music?
We hear the music.
I want to say real quickly.
You and I will have to come back and continue the conversation. We'll have about half an hour left when we come back. We have
RJ.
Yes.
Can I talk to you during a break? I wanted you to play something when we come back from the break on the radio.
We will do our best. Hang on. This is RBN.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
It is 33 minutes after the hour. This is the Morning Liberty program. I hope you can see we're having some fun this morning with John DiNardo talking about this Planet X. He has given a couple of websites where you can go to and examine more of the evidence yourself, much of this reporting, that the governments around the world are aware that this is occurring, that this is coming, but they are not releasing this information to the public. You probably know already, right? Many of you already know that we get from the press what they want us to know. That means much of what is going on we never get informed of by them. Therefore, that's why you're here at RBN. That's why you are doing your own questioning of what is the truth, what is going on around us. We want some answers, and again, that's why you are here at RBN. John DiNardo, are you there?
Yes. Yes, I am, RJ.
We are going to entertain our next caller from Illinois. Let's chat with Rodney. Rodney, good morning. You're on.
Good morning, RJ.
Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Hey, RJ, first, thanks for letting people such as myself be a frequent caller. I hope not to abuse the privilege. My question has to do with the gravitational effects. If Planet X could cause the orbit of Uranus to be affected, you know, over 100 years ago, and those effects are, as the timeline progresses, become exponential, then what are the effects of Planet Earth, Planet X on the orbit of Earth, and why are they not being highlighted? And if those effects are occurring, could we not see them in perturbations of the tides on Earth? Since, you know, sure, it could affect the orbit, but the effect of, you know, the moon is of course well known on the Earth relative to the mass of water on Earth. Why are not simpler effects being noticed and being made known?
Planet X has now close enough to be beginning to cause slight changes in the Earth. For example, people have noted that the rising point of the sun on any particular day, for example, the vernal equinox. If you look out your window on the vernal equinox, what is that, June 21st of each successive year, you should see the sun rising over that same tree outside your window if you're looking at it at the same time in the morning. But it's not happening. The sun each year is changing its position. There is indeed a change in the gravitational, in a movement of the Earth. The Chandler wobble, which has been noticed, the wobbling of the Earth in a sort of an erratic pattern ever since 1908, I believe. The Chandler wobble has really gotten erratic. I think I remember reading that it's actually stopped. The Earth is being affected in its motion. We're seeing a tremendous, I wish I had 3 hours. I could detail all the meteorological and geological changes that are occurring on Earth, the severe weather. I've been doing Weather Channel videotapes. I have 240 hours of videotaped nothing but severe weather reports from the Weather Channel. Flooding, epic flooding all over the United States. So many cases I can't remember. Every single portion of the United States has been affected by epic flooding since 2004. Europe, likewise. Portugal, Spain, England, Germany, and also you have snow. I can tell you just a couple things, facts out of the whole mountain of evidence that come to mind. 262 inches of snow in Niigata, Japan. 262 inches. Things like that. Temperature 65 degrees below zero in Tampa, Russia. And then on the other side of the world, in the U.S., you have warm summers, warm winters. Denver was 74 degrees during the winter when it was 64 degrees in Miami. Denver, way up north, 74 degrees. At the same time, Miami was 64 degrees. So it's just incredible. You have temperature swings frequently, 40, 50 degree temperature changes within a matter of hours. This never occurred before. You have so much going on. The world is being definitely affected. In fact, let me get to the oil spill real quick before we run out of time. This oil spill is a fraud, and I have posted this information. I've written essays on it. Soon after the oil spill occurred, because I knew about Planet X, not because I'm brighter than anybody else, but only because I know about Planet X and all the other Patriot broadcasters, except for Steve Quayle. Steve Quayle is really on top of this stuff. All the other Patriot broadcasters have no clue about Planet X because they don't want to have a clue about it. All they want to do is talk about the New World Order, which is bad and evil. And however, the New World Order has gone into its frenzy of tyranny specifically because they know Planet X is coming, and they are frantic, and they are desperate to go underground, and they are desperate to grab as much wealth as they possibly can because they're insanely greedy for both money and power, and that's why they're going crazy with this tyranny. But they're going soon underground, as Governor Jesse Ventura showed us, because the solar scorching is coming very soon. It comes from NASA, not from me, but from NASA and from the National Academy of Sciences, that the solar scorching will be absolutely deadly by 2012, and it's ramping up right now. I got about the oil spill, because I know about Planet X, I knew that it was a scam. What they did was they deliberately drilled into that oil volcano in the Gulf of Mexico because they wanted to create the illusion that man had created this oil spill, when in fact God had created it by bringing Planet X in. You see, every seabed in the world is now beginning to break up. We are seeing bubbling, buckling, and bulging of the seabeds all around the world. The Coral Sea has had bulging, 13 feet increase in the seabed bottom over a period of days. And this is exactly what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico. I have a friend.
So you're suggesting
who was a Gulf War veteran.
That the crust of the Earth is being impacted by this.
Absolutely. In fact, the thinnest part of the Earth's crust is the seabeds. Think about it. All the seabeds are thinner and much more pliable because of the water resting on the seabeds than is the crust of the Earth, which is more solid. However, the crust of the Earth is undergoing tremendous breakups. There's methane bubbles, methane being pumped up from the ground all over Pennsylvania, Texas, Colorado, you name it. There's places you can catch in the news. Just do an internet search on the word methane and places like Pennsylvania and Texas, et cetera. It's happened all over the world. The sinkholes are increasing tremendously. It was a huge sinkhole the size of almost the size of an office, well, bigger than an office building in Guatemala City. I have
a
photograph of it.
If you took a stab at it, what is the closest that Planet X do you think will come to the Earth, and about when will that occur?
Well, from past passages and from some of the contacts that we have with the government, there's one person, Gilbert Erickson, who seems to have connections with people in the astronomical community and maybe through them, with people in the government, because there are decent people in the astronomical community and in NASA who want to get the truth out, but they're being muzzled by these dictators at the very top, and that's been always been the problem. But he says it'll be, they estimate that it'll be, well, I don't know the distance. It's very difficult to tell the distance. Probably 15 or 20 million miles away from Earth, which would be 15-20 million miles seems like a long distance, but it's close enough to cause tremendous gravitational pulling of the Earth's surface, and we're seeing it right now.
You think that will be occurring in December of 2012, as close as it will arrive?
It has to. It has to, because it's happening already now in 2010, in July of 2010.
So it may be a function
oil
of the Mayan calendar,
fraud.
Right, and the Mayan prophecies for the Earth, the Planet X is a part of that.
Well, the Mayan prophecy seems to converge with Bible prophecy, yes. But, you know, this oil spill is a fraud. What they wanted it to do was to show us, to make us believe that man had caused this oil spill, when in fact the entire bed of this Gulf of Mexico is breaking up and there is oil coming out all over the place. I had posted essays on this fact, what I believe is a fact, 2 months ago when everybody was saying, oh, BP is really screwed up and they are causing all this trouble and they can't stop the leak. Well, why would they drill into a volcano? There's no reason to drill into a known, what they knew was a volcano. They have the satellites that can look deep into the Earth and tell where the volcanoes are, where the oil deposits are. They wanted to make it look like man created this, because if the world ever found out that these seabed the leakage of oil coming from all the seabeds around the world, not just here but in China also, is caused by the gravitational pull of this planet now beginning to take effect as it draws closer and closer, then what would happen to the people? They would panic. All the people who are docile and timid and obedient to this tyrannical leadership, this power elite that rules the world, those people would suddenly, out of fear, say, there is a greater fear. They would, their attitude would be, there's a much greater fear than my fear of the government, and that fear is what's happening
panic.
To the Earth. And they would lose, they would go into panic, and they would, the power elite
panic
would lose
is their
control.
Concern.
The reins of power would be yanked out of their greedy fists immediately, and that is the
See,
last
I think
thing
that is
they
happening.
Want. They would rather blame themselves for the oil
that
leak
is,
than have
that,
the folks find out.
Okay? Control of the Earth is being torn from their hands, okay? It is being torn from their hands.
And they're desperately trying to stop it.
Everywhere around the world, we're making it very clear. We're not going to take this anymore. We're done.
Well, here's the thing, though, RJ.
And panic is their concern, because it will hit them in the pocketbook, okay? Panic will occur, if it occurs, right? It will financially harm them. They will lose money if people go into a panic.
But they'll lose their power. They'll lose their control over the entire world. That's why their one world government will fall apart. You see, the greatest factor of this panic would be the fear, not necessarily anger. Yes, there's a lot of anger and backlash due to this tyrannical abuse that the people are taking. However, the greater panic will come from the absolute stark terror that comes when people see that the Earth is breaking up. They do not want the people to know that the Gulf of Mexico is breaking up. Now, let me tell you something. This is a secret. It's something that came to me 3 to 4 years ago from a friend of mine here in northern New Jersey. He was a former Gulf War veteran. He has contacts with one person who was a geologist for the U.S. Geological Survey. 3 to 4 years ago, he told me this. This is important to remember. He said that this geologist with the U.S. Geological Survey told him two things. One, they are surveying for tremendously wonderful opportunities for oil drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. Two, they expect land masses to arise out of the Gulf of Mexico. This was 3 to 4 years ago. That's how I knew that this oil spill was a scam, and then no other Patriot broadcaster knows that. They don't have a clue. None of them have a clue. They think it was a BP-originated thing. But if you look at all the fact that they're covering up, they put the Corexit in there because they wanted to scratch two itches. One was kill off the population. Two, Corexit, yeah. as Keith Olbermann stated on MSNBC, and go to YouTube, you'll see it. Keith Olbermann on MSNBC says the Corexit.
You know, most of the time,
the scientists
Keith
have proven
Olbermann.
That the Corexit does nothing but cover up the seabed, and that's exactly
yes.
what they want. They didn't want the cracks and fissures to be noticed.
On that point, he was right. In fact, I got a hold of that, and I put it up on my website so people can see it, okay? Most of the time, he gets it wrong. Most of the time, his position is wrong, but on that point, he got it right. In fact, on MSNBC, right? Brzezinski is in charge. His own daughter is on MSNBC, okay? But Keith Olbermann made it very clear and took a stand. Risks his career making a stand on Corexit, okay? They did not have to spray Corexit out there, except they intend to kill people and to kill, you know, fish and to kill birds. They didn't have to spray Corexit to stop the oil there in the Gulf. No way.
Yes, right. But of course, their main reason for doing it was to blanket the seabed so you could not see it. They were desperately trying to cover up the fact that the entire Gulf of Mexico seabed is cracking up. Lindsey Williams documented that himself in his radio interviews, and it's absolutely true. Now, you're going to start seeing it very soon. You're going to start seeing breakups. That's why you're hearing all these other phony lies. Yesterday we heard a story about this towboat that hit an oil rig and caused another leak. Well, that was another lie to make it look, to deceive people into thinking that man has caused these oil leaks that are coming up, popping up all over the oceans and seabeds of the world. And you're going to hear more and more lies. You'll hear, find out, do a search, you'll find out that in China there are oil leaks occurring in the seabed.
The entire seabeds
of the Earth are breaking up right now, and we're going to see these devastating geological effects.
There's two other crowds that approach some of these issues. One crowd is the New Agers, and they suggest that there are beings from other planets, in fact. There's a couple of points they make. One is that Earth will be putting on a new dress. That Earth will change, and that there are beings from other planets, in fact, that will come and literally remove people from the Earth so that they can survive these events. Okay?
This is all disinformation. The real beings that are coming are these fallen angels. These are in spiritual beings that are causing all the hatred and murder that's going on in this Earth. So the New Agers have it twisted. They're being deceived by the deceivers, Satan and his fallen angels, who are real beings. They exist. And they believe that there's going to be a new world, a new, better world. Yes, there will be. If one turns to God the Savior, he will recreate the world. He promises us that. But they have it all wrong. There's no beings coming on Planet X. Planet X is uninhabitable. You see, we have proven, let me just read you from this New York Times article. The scientists at NASA gave this information to the New York Times, January 30, 1983. We're going way back, so if they knew this much then, how much more do they know now? 1983, January 30, New York Times, quote, it says, the scientists at NASA believe that more credence was given to the hypothesis that a brown dwarf star accounts for this mysterious gravitational force. Now, if you look up a brown dwarf star, you will find out that it's got to be at least 3 Jupiters in mass. That's, we're talking about 1,000 Earths. 1,000 Earths. If you put somebody made of flesh and blood, a giant, or anybody made of flesh and blood on something that has a mass of 1,000 Earths, the body will be crushed in an instant, in a microsecond. Every bone in your body would be crushed. There's no flesh and blood being that could live.
The assertion from that comment is Earth is just big enough to have gravitational pull enough to allow human beings to exist here upon the Earth. That a planet that size would have greater gravity that would human beings would not be able to survive on such a thing, correct?
Exactly. And also it's very hot. It is a smoldering brown dwarf star, as all the scientists at NASA have told us before. They were muzzled 20, 25 years ago. They told us it was a brown dwarf star. That means it's very hot. It's smoldering. There's a little bit of nuclear fusion going on, but it's not quite massive enough to smolder. So that whole thing is like a red herring. It's probably not even worth talking about because there's so much real hard evidence. Let me give you something else
here. So this Planet X would come into our atmosphere and then leave this atmosphere.
Yes, it would go over top of the Earth, whip over the sun, and come back down. It would cause tremendous gravitational and volcanic activity, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, etc. But God will protect those who call upon His name.
We will have 4 minutes when we come back for the last segment right after this at RBN. We have about 4 minutes left. Let's see if we can squeeze one more caller. Mike from New York, see if you can take a minute, and then we'll let John DiTardo finish.
May I just read something? May I just read something quickly, please?
Go ahead.
Okay. This is, I'm reading the October 1981 issue of the German magazine Stimme des Glaubens reported on a discussion that Pope John Paul II had with a select group of German Catholics in November of 1980. The following is a verbatim report of the discussion, word-to-word report. The Pope John Paul II was asked, quote, "What about the third secret of Fatima? Should it not have already been published by 1960, as was promised?" And the Pope answered, Pope John Paul II replied, quote, "Given the seriousness of the contents, my predecessors in the Petrine office diplomatically preferred to postpone publication so as not to encourage the world power of communism to make certain moves." My side note is communism, that was the cover lie that they used. Now, he goes on to state, quote, "On the other hand, it should be sufficient for all Christians to know this." Now, here's where he gives you the real truth. "If there is a message in which it is written that the oceans will flood whole areas of the earth, and that from one moment to the next, millions of people will perish, truly the publication of such a message is no longer something to be so much desired." In other words, that was what the message was, that the oceans were going to spill out of their basins and millions of people would perish in an instant. The earth would be overcome. You see, when this planet comes in, this huge 1,000 Earth planet of mass comes in, its gravitational pull, even at 15-20 million miles distance, is going to cause a polar shift of the Earth. It'll get that close that it'll actually sort of skim its gravitational hand over the top of planet Earth like you would skim your hand over somebody's head and cause the head to nod downward. That's exactly what's going to happen to Earth, and when that happens, you have a sloshing of the oceans. Well, that's all I had to say for that.
And it's already happening. It's already occurring. John Moore continues to speak out about it. Stephen Quayle and myself. John, are you willing to come back again and continue the discussion?
Yes, I would love to.
Let's see if we can squeeze in one more caller with his question. Mike in New York, go ahead. You're on.
Thank you, RJ. Unfortunately, I won't have enough time to get into that because the third secret definitely does not refer to a foreign object approaching. It does refer to the shifting of the planet as the sun in our solar system is going to move into a new position in the universe, because nothing is static in orbit. It's constantly progressing in a spiraling motion, actually upward, and there's a greater huge sun in the center of the universe that we're becoming more in alignment with, and that's what the third secret was really all about, with the big changes that it's going to impact.
No, the third secret was about the destruction of Earth as a result.
So not reference to the planet X, but because of
regardless, what the Pope just said, that is the sloshing of the oceans will spill out of their basins and millions of people will perish.
Thank you for the call, Mike. We will continue this conversation when John DiTardo joins us again. I'll have my people reach his people, and we will do that. John, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, RJ, for having me.
And we will do it again. Mike, I appreciate the call. Thanks for listening. I will be back tomorrow with John Bailey. And next week, we'll have more fun right here. So stay tuned to RBN.
with recent